Welcome to the Run for God Run Club, where you will find God in a runner's space.
Welcome back to the Run for God Run Club. This is your one stop each week to be motivated and inspired to get off the couch and onto the running trail, where you can in turn inspire others to do the same. Let's learn, laugh, and leap into running together, giving God the glory for what we are able to do in His name. Amen. Well, I am your running host, Dean Thompson, coming to you once again from the Upward Sports Studio. You know, we've all heard the term second wind. Well, what is it, and what are its implications for running? And then, have you ever been out on a run and had to turn around and go back the way you came? We'll talk about that subject, too, in this week's Dean's Thoughts. And joining me once again for those stories and much, much more is Run for God founder Mitchell Hollis.
Thanks for having me, Dean. How's your week been?
It's been a good week. I had a good track workout yesterday. That always feels good,
yeah.
Right? To have a good workout and get through and go, that was good. Yeah. Yeah.
The weather's getting right, though.
Yeah, I think that's probably part of the reason.
I just said I walked outside and I walked in. I said, there's a bite in the air out there.
There is.
So it's, hey, before we kick off, tomorrow night, as of this record, or as of when this airs, tomorrow evening, October the 29th, we are having another webinar for people who are thinking about coaching the 5K challenge in the new year. Again, everything is coming together right now. The app should be out anytime, sometime in November. And we're just, again, you've heard me say, my goal is 100 classes in January starting across the country. I've talked to many. We had a webinar just the other day, had several of our previous coaches on there. We've got one for all of the Upward partners, past Upward partners coming up next week. And then tomorrow evening, October the 29th, we have another one for all of the Run Club members in general. So if you are not signed up for that, or maybe you've been living under a rock and you haven't seen the advertisements for it, send an email to customerservice@runforgod.com and we will get you signed up for that. You don't want to miss that. Some great content. It'll be Jennifer and I on there just kind of going back and forth. She's coming at it from somebody who's never taught before. And so we'll be talking about the whole process, the whole Upward process, all the great changes that are coming. So if you've been thinking about it, you've heard us pound this drum every single week. This is yet another opportunity. It's at 7:30 tomorrow night, October the 29th. I want you to join us to hear more about it.
Yeah, do that. It's well worth your time. It's, you guys put it together pretty compact. There's a lot of information in a relatively short period of time. Takes a while to explain, but it's a good. Yeah,
if you're comprehensive, but it will not be. I think it was 45 minutes the other day when we did the first one. Mm-hmm. So it's not very long, but it's lots of information, and we're going to be taking your questions live. So
that's
if you've got questions you want to ask, you can do that there.
Yep. All right. Well, you know, I had to change everything this week. I had a post of the week, and then that person who I was going to read their post of the week submitted a story that was very similar to the post, and so I'm saving that. So I had to go back and read and change all of my notes.
What are the chances of that? That's
it's good stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. But anyway, so this week's post of the week is from Ashley Daly. She said, "Full honesty, it was a really bad morning at the Cave Creek Thriller Trail Run. It was 95 degrees by the time I finished. I was fully exposed to the sun the whole time, and there was a brutal climb that broke me. But God is still good. So here are the things that made me happy today. Number one, the trail was beautiful, and I'm so grateful to live within a short drive of such a lovely place. Two, I have the time, money, and health to run and do these races. Three, I got to see hot air balloons. Four, got a cool new trucker hat. 5, scorpion-themed playground. 6, coyote tracks on the sidewalk. 7, got to spend time worshiping my Savior through running. So while it wasn't a good morning for time, placing, there were still lots of good things to be grateful for."
What a great post. I mean, she does the opposite of what we typically do.
Yeah.
She focused on all the good. I would have been talking about that heat and 100 degrees over and over.
Yep.
But she chose to focus on the good, which is what we should all do.
That's exactly right. This is such a great example of just looking on the bright side, right? And, you know, a lot of times this happens all the time. This is a race, and a lot of times we look at it in the context of races and things, but this is an everyday thing.
Yeah.
Right? If you will just look at the difficulty you're having on that run today just a little bit differently, just change your focus a little bit, and it'll make all the difference.
Yeah, I think we're going to talk about that a little more on down in the story. But yeah, perspective is everything. And, you know, I'm not as good as this as I should, but I feel like I'm better than I could be because, you know, we all have those people in our lives that it's just constant negative.
Yeah.
And I thank God I'm not there, but I wish I could be a little bit more than I am.
Yeah.
Because it's all about perspective.
That's a great reminder, Ashley. The run of the week isn't just one run. So I thought I would do this. I went through Strava and I pulled out in about a 24-hour period all the places that the people on our Strava group ran and posted runs, and realize now that not every run on Strava has a location attached to it. So this is, you know, this is a little more than half probably of those that were posted. So here are all those places. Waverly, Ohio. San Bernardino National Forest, California, San Antonio, Texas, Whitfield County, Georgia, Beloit, Kansas, Okaloosa County, Florida, Reno, Nevada, Manhattan, New York, Canal, Winchester, Ohio, Lufkin, Texas, Colby, Kansas, Franklin County, Alabama, Rockaway Township, New Jersey, Floyd County, Georgia, Albemarle, North Carolina, Preble County, Ohio, Cannock Chase, United Kingdom, Greenbrier, Arkansas, Atlanta, Texas, Cedar Grove, Wisconsin, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, Gadsden, Alabama, Royston, Georgia, Argos, Indiana, Columbus, Ohio, Elkin, North Carolina, Opelika, Alabama, Chattanooga, Tennessee, Covington, Georgia, Liberty, South Carolina, Ashland, New York, Lafayette, Georgia, South Daytona, Florida, Lake Havasu, Arizona, Biloxi, Mississippi, Eastridge, Tennessee, Dallas, Texas, Nassau County, Florida, Marysville, California, Nevada, Wisconsin, I'm not sure if I said that right, Chesterfield County, Virginia, Coffee County, Tennessee, Three Oaks, Michigan, and Granite Quarry, North Carolina.
You know what the cool thing about that list is?
What?
And what the cool thing about this club is that there is quite a few of those cities that you said that I can tell you the person it was without even seeing the Strava.
Yes.
You know, that's been the big change with Upward is with coaches in the past, we know the name.
Yeah.
And we know where they're from. With Upward, in their database, they associate everything with the church. So Upward, you know, we'll have these conversations and I'll be talking about, you know, any one of our past coaches. And they're like, well, what church are they? I'm like, I don't have a clue what church they are.
Yeah.
I know their names and I know where they're from. And, hey, I want to add one to that. I want to give a shout-out to Claire Boyce, who is our new marketing person for the Upward Running. She's a young lady out of Spartanburg, South Carolina. She did the Chicago Marathon this weekend. So congratulations to Claire. That's a big feat. She just went on and on about the crowds there.
Yeah.
I messaged her earlier in the week and asked her how it went, and she was talking about how great the crowds were, which I've heard. I've never been up there for that race. Have you ever run Chicago?
I have not. I have not. Maybe I will one day. I'm not sure. There's some things about Chicago reasons why I won't run it, but I might. Who knows?
So all the cities and states you just said, let me clarify. That was all runs this past weekend.
That was all runs in one day.
Wow.
One day.
On the Run for God Strava.
On the Run for God Strava group.
Wow.
Yes. That's so there really were 44 cool. different towns and or cities. And 21 different states, or in one case, UK, just in that period of time. And, you know, of course, not everybody, of course, posts their runs. I'd say most people don't.
Yeah.
But we have 600 people on that Strava group now. So
really?
I'm
one of the ones that's not on there.
I don't
post to Strava. Yeah. I just never have.
But if you're out there and it's kind of interesting to kind of scroll through and just see what everybody else is doing. And
it's kind of the social media for runners.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is. But very specific about performance kind of.
Correct.
And some people, you know, some people go into great detail with their run, and some people just, all it is the automatic download from their watch. And it's interesting. So
see, I'm one of those. If I go out for a run or a walk and I don't have my watch, I'll drive 10 miles back to get it. Because I'm one of those that it just didn't happen if you didn't record it. But on the same token, I don't know the last time I pulled my Garmin account up. Yeah. I don't look at the data, but I'm adamant about having my watch on when I run.
Yeah.
And so I don't know why that is. You know, I don't look at my data. I don't really care at this point in my life what my data is.
Maybe it's a just-in-case thing.
But yet I've got to have it. And I guess it's just because I've done it for so many years, I don't want to lose a period of time. Because I'm sure at some point I'm going to get back into the data and I'm going to want to analyze all that. So I don't know.
Well, the cool thing about Strava is that if you forget your watch and you have your phone with you, you can record it on Strava through your phone.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
Really?
Sure can. Mm-hmm. That's what happened in that long run where my watch died.
Yeah.
I just pulled my phone out and recorded the second half of it with my phone.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Yeah, pretty cool. Our trivia question from last week was this. What is the Wings for Life World Run and why is it unique? Had you ever heard of this?
Well, I'm going to be very transparent here. My forgetter's getting better. I don't even remember this question. When I read it earlier this morning, I was like, I think Dean got the wrong question because I've never heard this. I thought maybe you had this week's up too high or so. No, I've never heard of this and I've never heard you ask this question, even though I'm pretty sure you probably asked it last week. So.
Yep. That's funny.
I must have been making notes or something when you said that last week.
Well, first of all, it's a fundraiser for spinal cord research. It originates in Europe. There are at least 7 locations across Europe where this is going to take place next May the 4th. And this is what it says on their website. At the Wings for Life World Run, everyone starts at the same time worldwide. Professional athletes, fun runners, and total beginners are all in it together against the catcher car. The moving finish line, the catcher car, begins in pursuit 30 minutes after the start, passing runners and wheelchair users one after the other until the race is over. The Wings for Life World Run is different. It's not like any other races. Everyone across the planet starts their race exactly the same time, 11 a.m. UTC. That means participants in the UK start at 12 p.m., in Germany, 1 p.m., Florida, 7 a.m., and so on. There is no finish line. There is a virtual catcher car that begins its chase 30 minutes after the start signal. Fun runners, for example, make it to kilometer 5. Professional athletes power on to over 60 kilometers. Do you have a goal in mind? Use the goal calculator to figure out the pace you need to set. Your result is not how quickly you run, but the distance you cover. Hmm. I love new ideas for races, and this is so new.
Yeah.
And apparently you can, once you sign up, you can download this app that keeps up with, you know, while you're running, you can see where the car is behind you.
Yeah.
And whether or not it's about to catch you. And what the car does is the car gets faster. They start 30 minutes after you start, and then it gets faster and faster as the run continues. And the idea is to see how far you can run before the car catches you. And when the car catches you, your race is over.
It kind of reminds me of how we used to do some of the triathlon practices with the kids. You know, when we coached triathlon, we had such a wide variety of abilities.
Yeah.
And so we had all the way from slow to extremely fast. What with kids, you've got to figure out how to make it fun to get the most out of them. And I think we were pretty masterful at that.
Yeah,
you know, we had relays.
Yeah.
For the team, but that was our speed work. We knew what the goal of this. We would start people on runs in reverse. So we would start the slower ones and their goal was don't let the faster ones catch you. And then we would start the faster ones in the back and their goal was catch the slower ones in the front. So it kind of reminds me of that same type thing. They're getting pretty creative with it.
Yeah. There's also on the app, there's also an audio involved with the map that I don't know if it plays music in the background, but then every once in a while it comes on and says some stuff to kind of keep you going. And it's kind of like something we would like to do eventually with our app where we can, you know, where somebody's running a half marathon and something triggers, you know, we we talk to them every mile or something. It's pretty cool. So anyway, I'd like to do it. I think it said that if you can run, it's like 7 minute pace, I think, and you can cover like 50K, something like that. I don't know. Maybe it was a little faster than that. I can't remember, but I'd love to try to do this and see how far I could go. Yeah. It'd be fun.
Upward Sports equips churches to run self-sustaining sports ministries in their communities. Whether you're a sports fanatic or on staff at a church, Upward Sports will give you all the tools you need to run a first-class sports ministry that allows you to reach families in your community. Upward Sports offers basketball, soccer, flag football, cheerleading, volleyball, baseball, and softball through league and camp offerings. At Upward Sports, we want to help your church make a difference and give you increased opportunities to share the gospel. Learn more today at upward.org. That's upward.org.
Okay, we're back, and we're still looking for stories from you.
Yep.
If you're hearing this, I'm talking to you. So write us a story, send it in, and it's easy. You go to runforgod.com or I guess you have to go to runforgod.com.
It's still runforgod.com right now. It will be changing over to upwardrunning.com here before long. But yeah.
Yeah. And then just there's a place that says submit my story or submit your story.
Yeah,
or,
we make it pretty easy.
Real easy. And all you got to do is write your story, put it in there,
put some scripture
references, and we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
It's all good. All right. So let's talk about a subject that's a mystery to a lot of people, because there's a book coming out in January that I think is really interesting from a guy who does a really good job with this kind of thing. It's about performance anxiety. You know, we've seen a lot of people who they just have difficulty when it comes time for crunch time. We've seen a lot of those. Some of those folks we've been able to kind of push through to the other side, and sometimes not so much. I wish I was better at it, because that's the biggest mystery in coaching to me, is to figure out how to get somebody ushered over to that other side. There's a book coming out by Steve Magnus called "Win the Inside Game." You can pre-order it now, but it's coming out in January. But it's kind of a sequel to another book he wrote called Do Hard Things. That phrase sounds familiar, doesn't it? Well, this is on the website, scienceofrunning.com, which is his website. He says, it answers the questions I kept getting from readers. What do I do if I'm stuck underperforming, succumbing to the pressure, and not fulfilling my potential? Not just in sport, but in work and life. I feel stuck. Win the inside game is the answer. It's how to find courage, come through in the clutch, and strive to our fullest without succumbing to the fear of failure, doubts, insecurities, and overwhelm that so many of us feel. What I've discovered is that our brain is predictive, and when everything around it is telling it that we don't measure up, don't belong, and are constantly judged, our brains act accordingly. We live in survival mode, and fear takes over. It's why athletes choke. People shy away instead of standing up. And many of us seek out the comfort of the superficial instead of taking on meaningful pursuits with people we love and support. We've got to rewire our brains to make better predictions so that we have the security to take risks and freedom to fulfill our potential. This is great. I can't wait to read it. I've always thought a couple of things about these people. I think for a lot of people, just like he talks about in here, they're the victim of their defective thought. Now, that sounds terrible to say defective thought. But what I mean by that is people who just believe things about themselves that's not true. Mm-hmm. And people have a hard time overcoming that barrier of, you know, I'm not a sub 20-minute 5K runner. In their mind, they think that even if they don't verbalize it, in their mind, if you've got that thought in there, your body will act accordingly.
Sure.
And so I've seen that 100 times with athletes that I know can run much faster. And man, what a joy it is to see them finally break through when they do. But the other thing is getting past the what if
I think that's the biggest one.
You do you?
Yeah.
You know, what if things don't go well? What if this happens? What if that happens?
They play scenarios in their head.
Yeah.
That it's a 95% chance those scenarios are never going to happen.
Yes.
It's the worriers.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the worriers. And I've always said the way you get around that is you just focus on execution. You just focus on the little pieces of what you're doing and don't focus on the overall. Because when you focus on the overall, it seems big and cumbersome and hard to overcome. But when you focus on how's my breathing? What's my stride rate? How do my legs feel? And you focus on these little things, it you can get past that overwhelming feeling that you get by looking at the big picture. But it's complicated. And I know that Steve Magnus has written some other really good books. He's really good at this, and this should be a good book. And I bought a book years ago that I thought would be really good, and it had a title that I can't even repeat because it had, and the book is littered with foul language, and I hate that about it, but it was, I'm going to use a different word, Unstick Your Brain, Getting Over Anxiety, Depression, Anger, Freakouts, and Triggers with Science. And it talked about the scientific reasons why we underperform and that kind of thing. And it was funny. It was a well-written book as far as that goes. But there wasn't anything in there that helped a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that Steve Magnus's book is really good for that.
Well, I think it's so individual. You know, I think back to, you know, Lane used to have this problem years ago, and it's, and we figured out with him, it was because he was thinking about all these things on race day specifically that you just can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
I'll never forget when the kids were young. I think we've talked about this on here before. We would go to these big national races, and I would have the kids out playing football right before the race.
Mm-hmm.
And it was simply to take their mind off the race because we get so – the one thing we know, the term the hay is in the barn. There is absolutely nothing you can do on race day to enhance your performance.
Right.
But there is plenty you can do to
sabotage
your performance. And so the best thing you can do, and I actually heard, I think one of the recent runs you talked about, the run of the week, they talked about this, was there's nothing I can do. I'm simply going to go out and I'm going to enjoy it.
Yep.
And if you'll have that mindset, your performance will be much better than trying to overanalyze and trying to do a play bump. That is all stuff you needed to do days before.
Yeah.
And if you didn't, no big deal. There's nothing you can do about it today. But I think we're captive to our own thoughts, to your point that you said when we started. We just get in our own way, and you need to clear your mind and just focus on having fun.
Yeah, for sure. And the other thing, too, is we can actually flip this on its head.
Yeah.
So what I always did in coaching teams was I used to tell people, okay, it's really hot out here, right? And you know what that means. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to be thinking, oh, my gosh, it's really hot out there. So if you can think the opposite way and you can use that as an advantage. You know, I understand it's hot and I'm not going to worry about it being hot, but all these other people are, and you can kind of use that to your advantage.
Or take it a step further. If there rains in the forecast, man, I hope it rains.
Yeah.
Because everybody will be focused on the negative side, just like the comment or the story that we read earlier. Everybody's going to be focused on the negative. And if you focus on the positive, that gives you such a huge leg up on everybody else. And on your own self.
For sure.
If you're thinking, if you fall into the trap of listening to what everybody else is saying about how hot it's going to be, it's going to derail your race.
Absolutely.
But if you will go against the grain and say, man, this is incredible. This is giving me a leg up. You should talk about it with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Look at it as a competitive advantage on everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be if you look at it that way.
Yep. Well, this week, Rhonda's determined to write a story every month, and she so far has kept up with that. She's only got a couple more months left. So Rhonda Williams shares a story this week called A Second Wind, Let God Breathe New Life into Your Spirit. On your mark, get set, go. The starter pistol fires, and the runners are off. I am careful not to go out too fast, a mistake that I have made in the past. Burning too much energy at the beginning of a race means having nothing left in the tank for the last mile. It's tempting to run faster than I should because it seems like other runners are flying past me, Pace yourself or you'll regret it, I remind myself. At the beginning of the race, my legs are fresh. The adrenaline is flowing and I'm full of excitement. I draw energy from the other runners and the cheering of the crowds. I feel good. I'm going to run well today. Yay! However, the race becomes more difficult past the halfway point. The effort goes from comfortably hard to just plain hard. Legs are sore, breathing labored, and my feet feel like heavy blocks. Maintaining race pace becomes a struggle, and I start to doubt whether I can reach my goal. I need a second wind. Most runners repeat a favorite mantra to keep them going. Mine is Isaiah 40:31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I call out to God, I could use those wings now, Lord. And He gives me a second wind. Sometimes it's through a friend along the route who makes me laugh. Other times, it's the thought I need to change something to break the monotony, so I lengthen my stride for a while or introduce a short burst of speed. Occasionally, the Holy Spirit will whisper, "You can do this," and I smile and say, "Yes, I can." What a great feeling to get a second wind just when I need it. From time to time, we need a second wind spiritually as well. We can settle into a predictable pattern and become bored, lose our motivation, and wonder if we're even making a difference. Maybe a change is needed. Volunteer in a different area than you usually do. Teach a Bible study, or if you are already leading a group, choose a study that is different from your usual, something you have never studied before. Join a class that will challenge you. Our church is offering a class on ancient Greek this fall, and I'm looking forward to it. I hope that learning a little more about one of the original languages of the Bible will help me to understand it more. Maybe you took on too much at one time and need to cut back. Like going out too fast in a race can leave you with no energy for the end. Taking on too much in your service to God can lead to burnout. And it's important to pace yourself. Ask Him what He wants you to do and take time to listen. Talking with a friend or two about how you're feeling may help too. Just as my friend helped by making me laugh when I became tired during the race, a trusted friend could help you break out of your rut. The two of you could brainstorm ways of restoring your passion for study and service and never forget to pray. An encouraging word from the Holy Spirit may be all you need to breathe new life into your spirit. As runners, we tell each other, just don't give up. We should take that same attitude in our service to God. Instead of giving up, do what it takes to get your second wind.
It's another great story from Rhonda, as usual.
Yeah. Second wind is an interesting concept because we don't know what it is. We don't understand second wind. There are three main theories, I guess, as to what it is. One is it has something to do with your fueling. It has something to do with you use glycogen, and at the point that you change over from using glycogen to burning fat, there's a delay period in there where you're struggling because your fuel isn't being made as fast as you need it to keep going. But then when the fat kicks in, you feel that. And suddenly you get this, what we call second wind. That's one thing. Another one is that they think it could be a balance of like the lactate buildup. Like your body is creating this waste when you run at a certain pace. And then at some point in time, your body becomes efficient enough to start clearing that waste fast enough that you're not creating the extra waste. And boom, all of a sudden you feel better. I think that's a little bit closer to what's going on. But I think the third answer is probably, to my way of thinking, what it's all about. And that's that there is this release of endorphins that causes the second wind. You know, we hear the term runner's high. And I think that's where it comes from. I think it's chemically related to this release of energy and just this sudden feeling of feeling better. It explains why sometimes you're running along and you're by yourself and you don't feel good. And you're just kind of struggling with the run. And then all of a sudden you run into somebody else that's running and you start running with them. And all of a sudden you feel great. Mm-hmm. You know, it's because those endorphins come out and it makes you feel better. What do you think?
Yeah. I guess I'm kind of torn here, and I think it is a mystery. I personally don't think the second win is the runner's high. In one hand, but then in another hand, I do. I think the runner's high is endorphins. You know, it's the euphoric feeling. I think you've even talked about you don't know that you really experienced it. I know I have. Mm-hmm. I can think back to things like the finish line at my first Ironman, and you know, you're just down in the dumps, and you have that. Nothing really changes. Your diet doesn't. Nothing changes except you hear the crowd, you see the lights, and all of a sudden, you had energy that 3 seconds before you didn't have, and you know that it's temporary because as soon as you cross the finish line, you feel like death warmed over again.
Yeah.
Same thing happens like when a dog gets after you.
Yeah.
All that adrenaline comes in, and you have that high. Now, that is produced not by the run. That's a external force creating that. But for second win, I think for me, it's often been, for me, it's been tied to nutrition. And because I'm getting low on something, you know, you start to see the black spots, and you know, you're something's getting off.
Yeah. So more of a fueling.
Sodium. Thing. Yeah. Because mm-hmm. I'll never forget, I was doing a really long run one time. I guess it was that treadmill run I was getting ready for. It was like a 30-mile run, and I was right at the end of it. And I'll never forget, I was right out here on Crow Road, and I was crashing and burning 2 miles from my house. I mean, absolutely. And Shannon Coker was going to run the last leg of it in with me. And I mean, I was just – and he had a piece of – what was that gum they called it? Quench.
Quench gum.
Quench gum.
Yeah.
I put that piece of gum in my mouth, and I guess it's just – that's what it's designed for. It is a shot of sugar, and immediately I felt like $1 million. I mean, all of my energy, I truly had that second wind.
Yeah.
Now, it's short-lived because by the time I got to the top of the hill at Georgia 2, I was crashing and burning again.
Yeah.
So, I guess that's the way I describe it, is one is external things, which is the runner's high. Something gives you that feeling of euphoria. And I think for me, the second win is more nutritional or something internal.
Based. Yeah.
But
that makes sense.
But who knows?
It's a good theory.
You know, yeah, I think there's a lot of smarter people than us have tried to figure this out, and they haven't been able to. So
it's all good stuff. Hebrews 12:3. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Note, this verse follows the two we Run for God members know very well. The notes on this verse in my Bible study tell us when you face hardship and discouragement, it's easy to lose sight of the big picture. When you feel like you're in a rut, take a step back and look at the big picture and never, ever take your eyes off of Jesus.
You know, I just listened to a podcast that made me think about this. I listened to it yesterday, actually, and it was the Micro podcast. I like listening to Micro. And he had a guy, it was a historian by the name of Dan Carlin on his podcast. And he was talking about how history looks at things. So, you know, when history looks at the Great Depression, or history looks at, you know, the Second World War, or however history looks at things, history always looks at the sum of all the parts. It doesn't look on individual pieces of history, because when we talk about, I don't know, let's say the Great Depression, we're talking about a 6 or 7 year period, but we make generalizations about that whole period.
Yeah.
We don't talk about the individual nuances of, well, we live our lives many times in individual nuances, and we react to those individual nuances. And he didn't use the second example. He used the first example. So you have to hear me as a whole. He said Adolf Hitler probably had good moments in his life. There were times where he was nice to people. There were people that he loved, but history judges him on the sum of all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the bad much outweighs the good. Therefore, he's looked at in history as inherently a bad person. We know that. Mm-hmm. Billy Graham, he didn't use this example. I'm using this example. Yeah. Billy Graham probably had bad moments in his life. Billy Graham sinned. He had bad days. He probably said things that he shouldn't have said to people he loved. But history judges Billy Graham on the sum of his whole life. And and that's how we should look at our life. We should step back and look at, okay, how is history going to look at me? So, and the reason I'm saying this is because you have that day where you just feel like you can't do nothing right. You've done that sin that you've been trying to kick, and you start to bring yourself down. Yes, you should repent. You should fix whatever it is, but you need to step back and look at your life as a whole and say, I'm inherently whatever, holy, good. I'm a runner. You know, there's the days where we get down and we're like, I'm not even a runner. Why am I even doing this?
Yeah.
We all need to step back and we need to look at our lives, much like history is going to look at our lives sometimes. I don't know. I just thought that was very unique.
I like that.
The way this Dan Carlin talked about how we look at how history is going to look at us, but how we often look at ourselves. We need to pull out of that sometimes.
That's good stuff.
I don't know.
I looked at this verse in a little bit different light. I was thinking about, you know, this weekend I ran a race and I had some pretty serious gastrointestinal issues. Mm-hmm. I literally almost stopped in the middle of the race and went off from the woods on the side of the road because it was bad. Mm-hmm. But what I did was at 4 miles when it really got to be bad is what I, in my mind, I thought, okay, you got 13 minutes left in this race. You can endure anything for 13 minutes. You need to put it to the side and just don't worry about it. And of course, when I got through, I ran across the start finish line and straight over to the port-a-john. But it was focusing on that finish line,
right?
And that was my focus. And I think that very often, if we want to stay in the game, sometimes we need to focus on why we're in the game to start with. Why was I there to begin with? Why was I on that road running at that point in time? It was because I wanted to try to do my best in this race. Mm-hmm. And focusing on getting to the thing that would determine whether I did my best or not was the thing I needed to do. And I think that that's kind of the way we have to live our lives too, we know what the goal is and we need to keep that goal in mind at all times.
I don't know why I'm thinking this, but have you ever had an issue like that? Gastro is probably the biggest one you think of, that you look back and you think it actually helped your run?
No.
Really?
Nothing like that, no.
Well, I'm just thinking because your focus comes off of how hard this is. And I'm thinking about the time I got caught out in a lightning storm.
Yeah.
And it was a 10-mile run, and I probably had the fastest 10 mile because I was trying to get back to my car and not die.
Well, I could see that,
But so it's...
That's more endorphins.
True. Yeah, but you have, when you have the scenario you're talking about, you have a whole nother motivation to get back to that finish line.
It's true.
So, I don't know.
Well, you know, we've
talked about, you can't have acute pain in two different areas.
Yeah.
You're going to focus on one and ignore the other.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the same thing, I think, in that scenario.
Well, this goes back to the thought that recreational runners, if they can disassociate with the pain, then they tend to run faster. But professional runners, if they tend to focus on the reason for the pain and they run faster. Mm. They focus in two completely different areas. And I think I do better when I focus on
the pain
rather than trying to disassociate from it. Mm. So that's my thought.
It's good.
1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "With all this going for us, my dear, dear friends, stand your ground and don't hold back. Throw yourselves into the work of the Master, confident that nothing you do for him is a waste of time or effort." Hmm. She says this verse tells us that God uses all our efforts to serve him, so we should never shy away from telling others about Jesus. You may feel that what you have to say will be inadequate or awkward, but the Holy Spirit can work with it. Just remember the loaves and fishes. Hmm. I can't help but think about George's story and, you know, that whole thing where you thought you'd messed up.
Yeah.
And but God used it.
Yeah, I mean, he'll use us in spite of ourselves.
Yeah.
And a lot of times he'll use our failures. You know, I go back to when you said this, I go back to the time you said you said something you shouldn't have said to somebody out on a run when their dog got after you. Who knows what you going back and apologizing, taking a bad situation and using it for good. Who knows what that might have done for that person? Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, it's another one of those moments where we kick ourselves so many times. I mean, that day with George, I was just absolutely kicking myself.
Yeah.
But God, yeah, you know, he's going to use anything we do for the good of those who love him.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense when you read the Bible and you see all the imperfect
right.
people that,
yeah, for
that
sure.
he used. Isaiah 40:31, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. She says, this is one of my favorite verses. It reminds me that my accomplishments do not depend upon my own strength. God will provide the strength and endurance I need to go the distance. He is definitely the wind that lifts my wings. This is kind of the ultimate in second wind, right?
Yeah.
You know, there's an interesting thing about this verse, though. If you think about it, normally, if somebody's giving a speech, for example, or if somebody's writing a book, normally when you list things in an order, mm-hmm. you escalate them,
mm-hmm.
right? But in this case, God is doing the opposite. Instead of escalating, going from walking to running to flying, mm-hmm. he's going from flying to running to walking. And I've always thought that's interesting. So I spent some time this week in prayer saying, God, why? That doesn't logically make sense to me. So why would you do that? And this is what the answer I got back was that when you read, you shall mount up with wings as eagles, most people look at that and go, well, I can't fly. That's not me. He's not talking about me.
Mm-hmm.
And then he drops down and says, well, those that run, and you're like, you still might be, if you're not a runner, you still might be, well, that's not me. I'm not an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
But then he gets down to walk and you're like, mm-hmm. oh, that's me. And so he basically says, you can do these, I can work these incredible things through you. And he de-escalates that to make sure that everybody knows he's talking about everybody.
Mm-hmm.
He's not just talking about one person or the people who have this great ability. He's talking about everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really
a pretty cool perspective.
Insight.
Yeah. I've never thought about that.
Yeah. Question. Ever felt you were in a rut physically or spiritually? How did you break out of it?
I put a simple statement and it just kind of came to me right when I read it. I wrote the statement, procrastination is a rut in disguise. I think for me, that is typically, when I get in a rut, if I really start looking around, I'm procrastinating. It's something I don't want to do, or it's something I think I don't have time to do. And I say, I'll get to it later. And that is a rut.
Yeah.
You know, we can get caught up in those cycles and talk ourselves out of doing something by saying I'll do it later, knowing good and well you don't have any intentions to do it later. But we kid ourselves.
Yeah, that's great.
So I think being honest with yourself is probably the best way to break out of a rut.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this just happened to me physically with my running.
Mm-hmm.
I was really struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran a 5K, and I ran a 5K slower than I've run in 16 or 17 years. And part of me was thinking, well, you know, you're getting older, mm-hmm. you're just slowing down. But there was a part of me that felt like, no, it wasn't that long ago
mm-hmm.
that you were running much faster. And so you don't slow down that much that fast. But I was really struggling every day. Every run was a labor. But you know what I did was just kept going. Because I knew what I was doing was the right thing, even though it didn't feel good at the mm-hmm. time. And then I went from this past weekend, I mentioned the 10K that I ran. I ran the first half, the first 5K of that 10K, about a minute faster than I ran my last 5K. And then kept going and mm-hmm. ran the second half just as fast.
Mm-hmm.
And what explains that? Well, sometimes that's a rut, right? Mm-hmm. I was what, for whatever reason, my body was, I don't know what it was, but there was something there.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we tend to want to do something to change the course we're on when the course we're on is okay. Mm-hmm. And now I preface that by saying, or I guess the caveat to that is, make sure you're on God's path for you, right?
Sure.
If you feel like you're, you need to make sure you do feel, you should reassess and make sure you feel like you're on the right path. But if you really do feel like you're on the right path, then stay there.
Mm-hmm.
And don't go crazy and go changing everything, because oftentimes it's just, you just need to wait.
It's just hard.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
This has been a recurring thing here lately. We're made to do hard things. We mm-hmm. are made to suffer. And if you're, you know, I think both you and I, we're pretty good at, you know, self-talk.
Mm-hmm.
I can get on my own case pretty good. I can step on my own toes pretty good. But if you're not one of those people, some people just aren't wired that way. They're a little more apathetic. And I have these people in my life, but especially for those who really can't get on their own self very good, you need to have people in your life who are going to tell you the truth.
That's true.
And you need to trust them enough to listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I have those people in my life. You're one of those people.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a few others that I trust that you're going to tell me, you're going to point things out in my life that are wrong. And I trust you enough to where I'm going to listen. The mistake so many people make is they don't put those people in their lives because they don't want to hear it.
That's true.
But it's critical that you have those people in your life, because a lot of times, when you're in a rut, all you need is a good kick in the pants by somebody you trust.
Yep.
And you got to have those people.
Yeah, we've all seen that. One sentence. Somebody speaks one sentence and it changes your whole direction, right? Because of something they said. And you
yeah,
like,
and
oh,
a lot
wow.
of times it's not a good sentiment sentence. It's yeah. like, you're in a rut. You need to get over yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, something to that effect where it's sometimes it's harsh, but it needs to be harsh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, that has to be somebody you trust. You can't just listen to your comment feed on social media.
That's true.
But you need to have those people. I've talked about this here recently with somebody I know. You need to have people in your life who will speak truth, and you need to trust them enough to listen to them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And you need to be humble enough.
Right.
To be able to say, well, maybe what I think is not accurate.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens a lot of times. We get a little too confident yeah. in ourselves, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And we need somebody.
We're always right.
We need somebody.
What are you talking about,
Dean? Yeah. I think it's a good thing every once in a while when somebody kicks the legs out from under me so I can reassess.
Sure.
And take sure. a step back. Yeah. She says, I repeat Isaiah 40:31 when I am struggling during a race. What is your verse or mantra? And why did you choose it?
It's not as bad as it seems. Hindsight's 20/20. Look back at the last, because you know, nothing's new in our lives, really. Whatever we're going through today, that hard run this afternoon, we've done that hard run before.
Mm-hmm.
Look back and say, it's not as hard as, because we build it into these big things in the moment, but that's why God gives us that rear view mirror, albeit it's smaller than that windshield. We need to look back every now and then.
Absolutely. I can sum mine up into one word. Hmm. Relax.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked about before when I'm running, that's my mantra when I'm running is just relax.
Mm-hmm.
Just relax, because I'll notice my shoulders are up around my ears and I'm like, okay, just relax.
You know when I see your shoulders do that the most?
When?
When you're dealing with technology.
Yeah.
You get so wound up in that. And I'm thinking in my head, I don't know if I've ever said it, but I've thought it before. Dean, just relax. It's the same way you did it last week.
and that's what I do.
Yeah.
That's what I do for everything.
Sure.
I do that with running, but I also do it in everything else I do.
Yeah.
When I notice I start getting anxious about something, that's what I do. I go, okay, Dean, take a deep breath.
Yeah.
Just relax.
Yeah. My wife tells me that a lot.
Yeah. It works. Last question. Do you feel you need a second wind? Try something new. Brainstorm ideas to breathe new life into your service for God, and don't forget to pray.
It's like I just mentioned, this is a recurring thing. It seems like this concept it's just coming up more and more in my life. So maybe God's trying to tell me something. But, you know, yesterday Holly did the devotion for Upward, mm-hmm. and she did it on change and how mm-hmm. uncomfortable that is. She talked about we have a T-shirt that says find your comfort zone and leave it. I have an alligator sitting on the dash of my truck that's a reminder to stay in the rough water, to keep doing hard things. We need to get comfortable being uncomfortable. Mm. We are made to suffer. We are made to do hard things. And I wrote this down. I said, when you get comfortable being comfortable, that's complacency. And that is the worst place we can get.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. Do you need a second wind? I think we all do. But
from time to time,
a lot of times that is diving into something harder. I mean, yeah. You can't get a second wind in running if you stop running. Yeah. You got to keep running
yeah.
to get that second
That's
wind.
Right. That's right. Can't give up.
Yeah. I don't know. Do hard things. We keep saying this lately.
It's funny. This is going to segue right into yeah. the Dean's thoughts.
Yeah. Funny how that happens.
Do you need something to keep you motivated and to keep fit both physically and spiritually? Upward Sports Run for God Run Club has just what you need to keep you on track for both. Check out runforgod.com and join us today for pennies a day. You won't regret it.
All right, well, let's talk about something that was posted on the Facebook page last week. I don't remember the exact numbers, but the question was basically, how do I do a 5-mile tempo run that's scheduled to be faster than my 10K PR,
yeah.
right? Somebody's 10K PR is this. The training plan that we have says, well, you should be running your tempo run at this, and it's actually faster
yeah.
than their 10K PR. And we've seen this a lot, right? Mm-hmm. But the next question she asked was, should my target pace be the last mile time trial I had or another one? So if you don't understand our training plans, they're all predicated on this 1-mile time trial that we do about once every 4 weeks mm-hmm. that gives us our target paces to run. And it's a really good question. I get this question a lot. So let's answer that question first. Which mile time trial should I base my paces on? And you should base it on the one that represents your fitness level.
Mm-hmm.
So and the reason why I say it that way is because let's say that you ran your mile time trial in 8 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
The next time trial, nothing's really changed. You've just been going through the programs. You've been no injuries or anything like that. No real setbacks. And then you run 8:15.
Mm-hmm.
Well, which one should you use?
Mm-hmm.
You should use the 8 minutes mm-hmm. because that's your fitness level.
Well, I say that with a caveat. This is why journaling is so important, or at least taking note of, because you could have gotten slower if you didn't do your workouts as you were supposed to do them.
Well, that's assuming you did.
You got to be honest with yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, because I've had people come up, I've had young athletes especially, and they start talking about, well, you know, I ran that, my last race was this, but they say I ran my last race, you know, 6 months ago, and I ran it in 17 minutes, and the most recent race is they ran 19 minutes, and they say, you hear them talking, they're like, I'm a 17-minute runner. Well, no, you're not.
No, not right now, you're not.
You're not.
Yeah.
I don't even say not right now. You're not.
Yeah.
Because we need to be honest
yeah.
about where we're at, or you're never going to get better. Because if that 19-minute runner starts training at a 17-minute training plan, that's a recipe for disaster.
Absolutely.
And so, to your point, you got to be honest with where you're at with your training. And if all things are right and you do that benchmark as it's supposed to be done, you need to use the most current information.
That's right.
And if that was an anomaly, then you use the one before that. But never your PR. Oh, I say never. Most often it's not your PR. Your PR could have been 5 years ago. That's completely irrelevant with a training plan today.
That's right. Yeah, I can't use 4 years ago, I ran a 16:36 5K.
Yeah.
I can't get within a minute of that.
You'll be
right
in the
now.
Hospital if you use that for a training plan now.
If I did, yeah. I'd be hard pressed to run a mile at that pace right now. So yeah, I can't use that. So that's basically what it is. Base it on wherever your fitness level is right now, and understand that these paces, they're ballparks.
Sure.
You want to set a pace, and you want a goal, and you want to try to stay at that pace, but realize they're ballparks. Mm-hmm. Now, when I say that. Let's use the tempo run she's talking about here. When you run a tempo run, I happened to run a tempo run yesterday, and I happened to run a 5-mile tempo run yesterday, just coincidentally here. You want to run at your target pace.
Sure.
If your target pace is 8 minutes, then you should not be going out at 7:40, mm-hmm. because if you do that, then you're not accomplishing what the workout calls for. The workout calls for you to spend time at that pace. Mm-hmm. So an example, yesterday I run on the track, and the reason why I run my tempo runs on the track is so that I can keep tabs on exactly how fast I run each quarter mile. And so yesterday I ran a 5-mile tempo run. That's 20 laps on the track, right? And I ran 9 laps at one. My goal was 132. I ran 9 of those laps at 132. I ran 5 of them at 131, 5 of them at 133, and 1 of them at 130.
Yeah.
That's what a tempo run should look like.
Right.
It should be really, really close. And if your time is varying by more than that, then you're not executing the tempo run properly.
And but we need to understand, or we need to talk about, why is it that people do that? The reason people do that is because you start that first lap or mile or whatever it is, and you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to be patient.
Mm-hmm.
The pain is going to come, but so many times we sabotage ourselves by, I don't know how many times I've been out on a run in years past, and you look down and you're like, oh, that was a mistake. Yeah. You're like, that's going to hurt here in a little while. You feel great when you look down at your watch, but the suck is going to come, period.
Yep, and it will. So understand that about tempo runs.
And even on long runs where you can tend to get away with going a little bit faster, and it's not necessarily going to affect that run, it's going to affect the next run.
That's right.
It's going to affect the tempo run that's coming 3 days later. So these plans are designed and built the way they are for a reason, and you just need to stick to them.
That's right. Well, it's a time for Dean's Thoughts. And that's a time when I share something I've written about the intersection between running and faith. You ever been lost while you're out running?
Mm-hmm.
and may have to make that decision. Do I turn around or do I keep going? Mm-hmm. Well, this one is called U-turns.
3-mile run turns into a 10.
Yeah. I love exploration runs. I've exhausted my exploration options close to home, and that's why I love to travel to a new place, lace up my shoes, and look for interesting things on my run. I found great parks, trails along rivers, amazing neighborhoods, and sometimes even some wildlife. I've completed hundreds of exploration runs, and it is one of my favorite things to do as a runner. Sometimes I'll turn down a dead-end road and have to make a U-turn to continue my run. You may ask, why I would turn down a dead-end road? Well, I've learned that not all dead-end road signs are accurate for runners. While a car may not be able to go beyond the end of the road, I have found some great places to run off those roads. Debbie and I travel to Jacksonville, Florida every few months to make appointments at the Mayo Clinic. We usually stay in the same hotel, so I have learned the area. I remember one exploration run particularly well. I had explored all the roads close to the hotel and had found some good routes, but I wanted to try a new route. So I decided I would try to make a big loop for my run that day. Usually, everything goes well and I'm able to run that loop with no problem. But sometimes when I do that, the roads don't seem to cooperate. At some point, what I am experiencing in the run doesn't match the picture I had in my head of what the route was going to look like. In this case, it felt like the road I was on was not headed in the right direction. I've had this happen dozens of times, and I always find my way back to where I started. But I remember one time many years ago when I was in Gainesville, Florida, getting lost on my run. A 3-mile cool-down run turned into a 10-mile panic run. Ever since then, I have been cautious about those kinds of runs. There comes a point when I must decide. Do I make a U-turn and go back the way I came, or do I try to complete the loop? If I'm on an intended 8-mile run, that point usually comes around 4 miles in. Once I commit to trying to complete the loop, it could very well turn into a much longer run than I intended. I remember a time when I had my loop all planned out and everything was going well, only to run into a closed road sign. I didn't have any choice. I had to turn around and go back the way I came. Sometimes U-turns are welcomed and just part of the journey. Sometimes they're decisions made due to unforeseen circumstances. And sometimes they're just thrust upon us with no choice to do anything else. Isn't that a lot like life? Sometimes, no matter how much you plan, you're going to encounter uncertain things and either have a choice to make a U-turn or be forced to make a U-turn. That day, I ran into the closed road I was going to run 6 miles. I didn't run into that U-turn until about 4 miles into the run, so I had to run 8 miles instead. That's just part of the uncertainty of exploration runs. I'm not going to stop doing them just because they don't go well occasionally, though. Our faith is very similar, isn't it? Sometimes God has us on a path where we can see everything clearly and the path is well lit with road signs at every turn. But sometimes it is unclear and we have choices to make and prayers to utter to find out whether we have wandered off His path for us. And sometimes we must make U-turns because we find we have wandered off the path or He has abruptly changed our path. So let's ask an important question. We have all been on those exploration runs in our spiritual life. How do we handle those U-turns? When I have found myself lost on a run, I can panic and worry about getting back to where I started, or I can enjoy the extra miles. I was young when I went on that 3-mile cool down. I panicked. But today, I embrace the excitement of uncertainty. I'd like to say I do the same with my personal faith journey, but I don't always embrace those U-turn opportunities. However, just like I have evolved to handle getting lost on a run with a better mindset, I have done a much better job embracing the path God has for me, regardless of whether it is a comfortable and known path or not. We're always going to have those times when a U-turn is imminent. How are you going to react the next time you're faced with one of those life circumstance U-turns? Will you turn reluctantly, or will you embrace the extra mileage? You know it'll make you stronger, don't you?
It's a good story, Dean.
Yeah, being lost out running can be a helpless feeling. Although it's better than it used to be. You know, it used to be we didn't have phones.
Yeah.
Now you can pull your phone out and you can see where you're at. The problem is when you're blind like me, if you don't have glasses on you, I'll tell you what, it's one of the most frustrating things in the world. I've been lost with my phone and not had my glasses, and I literally can't read the map on the phone. I can't tell where you talk about something frustrating. To have the tool to fix what your problem is, but you can't see it, that's pretty frustrating.
I think the few times that I've gotten lost that stand out to me the most were actually here in Dalton. You know, you think, well, I live here. I know where these roads go. And you start going down these roads, and it's like, oh, that's not where I thought it went. Usually if I'm out of town, I've researched it enough that I don't really get lost out of town. But I know two times in particular downtown, both times I was leaving from the Wellness Center. And you know how those roads down there, it's like, oh, this road's headed that way, and that's right over there, but that road doesn't necessarily connect to what's right over there. So you're turning around and meandering and
Well, you know, I've noticed Florida is a little different. When you look at maps in Georgia, it's different than looking at a map in Florida. Because Florida has all these little swampy areas and places where you can't get through. And you look out on the map and you think, oh, I could probably just kind of cut through right there. But you can't.
There's a gator pond between you and that.
Oh, my goodness. But it's all good. There's times in life we just, you have to make a U-turn. And it's hard sometimes to figure out when to cut your losses. You're a lot better at that than I am. There's times I'll just hang on to something forever, refusing to let go of it. And then finally it peters out to nothing because you just won't let go of it because you just know. It's like buying a stock that's failing, right? You just know it's going to turn around any day now.
Sunk cost analysis.
Yeah,
I think, you know, and the crazy thing is a lot of times we'll pray. You know, God, give me a sign here. I feel like this is going in the wrong direction. Give me a sign. And He'll give you a sign and you still argue. You know, it's like road is closed, and you're like, I don't think God really made that sign. You know, it's like, I'm going to peek around it. I'm going to run a mile past it. And, but yeah, I think that comes with age and wisdom, and not that I'm wise by any means, but I'm more wise than I was when I was 21 years old. And I think I do things different. Just like you said, you don't panic anymore. Yeah. You may still make the mistakes, but you understand very quickly that they're mistakes, and you don't panic, and you adjust accordingly.
Yeah, well, I think as Christians, we look at the world as black and white. We want everything to be black and white. We want everything.
And many things are.
And many things are. Yeah. A lot of things are. A lot more than we sometimes will act like. Right. But that's a whole different story. But there's a lot of things that really, they're not addressed in the Bible directly.
Sure.
They're, you know, and we have to use our reason, and there's gray area in life in general. And that's those times when, okay, do I keep going and try to make this loop, or do I make the U-turn and go back the way I came? Because there's some safety in that. You know, a lot of times we don't know in life.
Yeah.
And we just have to do the best we can. And again, trying to find God's path for our life, that's the most important thing.
Sure.
But we've mentioned before that just because you're doing something good doesn't mean you're doing what God wants you to do.
Right.
And I think that's where I get lost a lot of times, is I'm doing good things. You know, why would God have a problem with me doing good things?
Yeah.
Well, it's not that he has a problem with it. It's just that he has something better.
Well, I mean, Rhonda even said it in her story. We can get caught up in doing good things, like things in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing so many of those. I've fell into this trap before. Mm-hmm. I'm a deacon, and I'm helping on Wednesday nights. I'm running sound, and I'm doing all these good things. And I look up and I realize I haven't sat with my wife in the service in 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
That's not right.
Yeah.
And so all the good things I was doing in the church was a bad thing in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the way you got to look at the whole picture, right?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I think God, we were talking about comfort zone a little bit ago, and I think God wants us to be comfortable most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So we shouldn't feel uncomfortable all the time, mm-hmm. but we should feel uncomfortable often.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think that's how we know, that's not how we know we're on God's path. But God, a lot of times, I think the way we talk, it sounds like we're saying you should always be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
No.
But you should never get comfortable being comfortable.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's perfect way to put it.
Have you always wanted to read through the entire Bible, but never found the time to do it? Well, let me do it for you. Sign up for the self-paced Bible in a Year Challenge and start listening today. Every day, I read a few chapters of the Bible and give you running or walking tips and encouraging quotes. You must be a Run Club member for access to this exciting challenge. So, if you're not a member, sign up today and get started. If you are a member, what are you waiting for?
Every week, we share a reason why running and or walking is so awesome. This week, it's good for our brain. You know, we're just talking about we get mental blocks when trying to improve in your running. You get these mental blocks. You have to overcome those things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And working on those things is really good for us. It helps us with running, but it bleeds over into all the other areas of our life, right? When we do hard things running and or walking, then that helps us with a Bible study or some other thing that happens in our life. And I think when we're successful in kind of hacking our brain for better running performance, it helps us understand how to hack our brain for better circumstances in all things, right? Well, there ain't but one suitable story for this part of the podcast.
You know, I was wondering if you were going to read that, how you actually wrote it.
Yeah.
Ain't. That is not a word I hear you say much.
No. But in this case, there ain't but one story, because there was something huge that happened this past weekend. And, last year, Kelvin Kiptum set the world record at the Chicago Marathon by running 2 hours and 35 minutes, I think it was. And it was incredible, and it was crazy last year. So this year it's like, well, you can't do any better than that. Well, think again. Because this year, Ruth Chepngetich, she's from Kenya, she ran 2:09.56 for the marathon. Now, that is almost 2 minutes off of the marathon world record, a world record that had broken the previous world record by a couple of minutes, just not all that long ago. Mm-hmm. And so seeing her run this, but there are only a handful of men who can run this fast in the United States.
Right.
It's crazy fast. First time under 2:10, obviously. It's a 4:57 per mile pace. It's incredible. I didn't watch it, but I did go back and I looked at the performance table. So World Athletics has performance tables that help you relate one world record to another, mm-hmm. right? And it does that for all road distances and all track distances, including field events and everything. And when I looked at it, I didn't look through every single one, but it looks like to me there are only like two or three people who ran any performance that was better than this. Mm-hmm. And two of those are Usain Bolt mm-hmm. in the 100 and the 200. He's a pretty big name. So that's how big a deal this is. Matter of fact, there was a javelin thrower who has this incredible world record. That's one of the world records that's on there that seems to be outsized. She's equal to, in performance, Armand Duplantis, who's the pole vault world record holder, who's set the record like 13 times and is just way better than everybody else in the world. And so that's the kind of performance that she has turned in. And I just, it's incredible. She's an interesting person because, you know, we talk about how all world records are set with negative splits. Mm-hmm. Nope, not in this case. She ran 64 minutes for the first half and then ran 66 for the second half, roughly. Mm-hmm. She was about a minute and a half, I think, slower in the second half. But she went out so hard, she ran 15 flat for the first 5K. 15 flat for a woman in a 5K is world class mm-hmm. just for the 5K. So she goes out super hard. She slowed down the rest of the time, but she held on and ran that fast. And I just think that's interesting because most world records aren't set that way, especially in the marathon. But something happened in conjunction with all this that I think is fascinating. Obviously, one of the first things that runs through my mind is, mm-hmm. there have been a lot of people who have failed drug tests in Kenya mm-hmm. over the past few years. Is this legitimate? From that standpoint. And I don't like to question people. I like to look on the bright side and think nobody's doping until we know they are and that kind of thing. But there was a guy in the press conference, one of the guys from Let's Run, who I think is one of the better sources for running information, particularly professional running, who just asked the question. You know, he said, there have been a lot of banned athletes in Kenya due to positive drug tests. Some people are going to wonder, you know, if this is, you know, is a real thing. And what he was saying, what do you have to say to those people? And you would think he had.
It's a softball question.
I thought he was doing her a favor.
Yeah.
You know, because
it's an underhanded pitch for her.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he has been excoriated in the media. It's so bad that in Kenya, in their whatever their political assembly is called over there, there were 13 people that got up and demanded that he apologize for that question.
But what did she say in the moment?
She hem-hawed and she just kind of like, no, you know, I don't know if she didn't understand what he was asking or if she just didn't know what to say to a question that was that direct.
Yeah.
But she didn't really answer it. But she was just basically saying, you know, look, I just did this and I went out hard and I did the best I could, you know. And so I don't know. And I'm not accusing her at all. I don't think that that's what happened. But it's a legitimate question to ask
anyway.
And so I think in our society today, we have got to stop being outraged when people – ask legitimate questions. I see that in society in general, right?
Yeah.
It's like if we're, and I think we do this as Christians. I think sometimes people will ask a question or say something outrageous that is outrageous to us as Christians. And then we try to put that in the context of being a Christian, and they're not a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you can't expect, they don't live under the same standard that mm-hmm. we live under. And so I just think we've become so intolerant mm-hmm. of people talking and saying things that I think we've got to get away from that.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have to embrace it. When somebody says something outrageous about Christianity, I think we need to embrace that as the opportunity to say, let me show you something different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's an opportunity, just like this was an opportunity for her.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's crazy. But congratulations to Ruth Chepin-Gedich. That was an impressive.
Sure.
Impressive. And Ruth, you know, we've talked before about Kenya. You know, Ruth is a biblical name, mm-hmm. and I'm sure she was named that because it was a biblical name.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a cool thing. Our trivia question for this week. We talked about some of the joggling world records, you know, the juggling and running world records. What is the world record for running a marathon while dribbling a basketball? And if you know the answer to that, or you Googled it and found the answer to that, and you're the first one to send a message back to dean@runforgod.com, and you're a member of Run Club, you will win $20 off.
So there's an official world record?
There's an official Guinness Book of World Records.
So did they have like an NBA ref running beside them to make sure they weren't carrying or double dribbling? Or
no.
Because that could make a difference.
You know,
if you're carrying a little bit on each dribble, then...
That would help you a little
gain
bit,
a little
wouldn't
extra
it?
Speed there.
Yeah, it would. It would. Mm. Yeah, and it would make
that
it
would
easier.
Stink to get a penalty at mile 25.
And then how do you just invalidate the whole thing?
Yeah,
you carried
you
one
to.
Time.
Yeah,
or,
I have to.
I mean, in joggling, you can drop the balls. Do they make you go back to that point? Because that's what happens in joggling.
Dropping the ball slows you down, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Carrying the basketball makes you faster.
Yeah, but if you found carrying the ball, then they just make you go back to that spot and start over again. Like if they find you at mile 25, you go back.
Yeah,
you have to take those steps back, stop, and then start over.
I don't know. I think we're overthinking it. Like we always do.
Very interesting. All right. Our motivational thought of the week comes from Andy Spear. He said, fight fatigue with focus. Very
good.
Simple, straightforward. That's a good idea.
It is.
You know, when we're worn out, we tend to succumb to being worn out, and we tend to... But... We should focus a little harder when we're mm-hmm. tired. And that's what good athletes do. That's what good runners do.
Mm-hmm.
During the later stages of the race, they focus that much harder. And it helps them keep their pace. So,
All right. Before we get off here,
mm-hmm.
7:30 tomorrow night, we're doing the live webinar. If you have not signed up, I'm sure it's posted on Run Club by this point. You can go in there and find the link. You've probably gotten an email by this point. Go in there and click the link. If you didn't see either one of those or get an email, send an email to customerservice@runforgod.com and we will get you the link. There's no reason everybody listening to this shouldn't be on there because I know everybody listening to this wants to teach a class this January, right, Dean?
That's right. 100% of the people listening.
100 churches this January. That's the goal.
That's right. So be a part of it. You want to be a part of this. This
sure.
is a big movement.
It
you want to be a part of it for sure. And until next week, may God bless every step of every run and or walk.
Hey, Dean.
Whoop.
I've never done this. I've never stopped you mid-sentence.
No, you haven't.
But I stopped you this time. I wanna give a shout out to somebody. And I'm not gonna state this person's name. But we had somebody who left Run Club sometime back when we announced the merger.
Yep.
And the person has recently come back.
Yep.
And they stated their words was something to the effect, I missed my family.
Yep.
Kudos to that person.
Amen.
It stung a little bit when they left. I mean, this is a household name for mm-hmm. you and I. And it was very big of them to state what they said in a message the other day. So,
yeah.
Kudos to that person.
Absolutely. You know who you are.
All right. Carry on, Dean.
All right. Go out there and shine your light.
Good job, Dean.
For more information about the Run for God ministry, go to runforgod.com. If you have questions about your salvation, click on the Peace with God tab. There's nothing more important. Thanks for joining us today.